All right, we sometimes just use this slot on a Friday to talk about useful things to do around the home, whether it's gardening or pet stuff. And Julie Moffat, one of our producers here, had the great idea of talking about insulation. And I'm joined now by builder Stan Scott. Hello there, Stan.
Kia ora, Jesse.
Who recently relocated with his family to Gisborne. How are you enjoying the non-Auckland life?
Well... look, there's crayfish in the freezer and I've just got them from surfing, so at this stage I think I'm settling in quite well, thanks.
Yeah, I'm jealous. We'll pop down and see you at some stage. Hey, thanks for coming to talk about insulation. We're getting a lot of questions through. I guess the place to start is, what needs insulating? And, well, maybe what are we talking about when we talk about insulation?
Well, insulation, you know, obviously keeps us warm. You know, like, if you think about insulation as like a chili bin, ginormous chili bin in your house, like, or an esky, whatever you want to call it. There's insulation in the walls of that box, and when you put stuff in it, if it's hot, it keeps it warm. If you put cold stuff in it, it keeps it cold. So insulation's great for keeping the cold out, keeping the heat in, and helping our house also stay cool in summertime. So it does both. And the best way you can go about creating effective insulation is by installing it properly. And the first things you can do if you are a homeowner is do the two that all the landlords have supposed to have been done by now, is our roof and our floors. Now, these are jobs you can do yourself. You don't need a permit to do them yourself. So, you know, like the floor doing underneath can be, if you've, you know, got a short amount of room underneath your house, can be pretty uncomfortable, so you do have to clean out everything from under your house and then have a look at what type of insulation you want to put in, and then read the correct instructions on how to do it.
So walls, floors, ceilings and roof, a roof space, if you could only do one, which would do the most good?
Pretty much the ceiling I would start with. Mm. Yeah, the ceiling I would start with, and look, it's one of those jobs you don't want to do in summertime. You don't want to think, oh, look, I'm going to get my all my insulation in for summer so it's ready for winter. You actually want to do it at the end of summer, because I don't know if you've been up into your roof space, yeah, and when it's warm, it's incredibly hot. So you kind of want to do it at the end of summer, you know, before it gets too cold, and then get up in there, or get up there very, very early in the day before your roof heats up. And what I'd suggest is, first, if you've got an older style house and you've got maybe all the old insul fluff in there, look, there's a lot of installers that'll just go straight over top.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that, actually, Jesse. I actually, in my house, I got a brush and shovel and I scooped it all out. There's actually companies that'll come and suck it all out for you and then blow in new stuff, which is great. It's relatively easy to do. If you want to put insulation in the ceiling yourself, I'd recommend that you scrape all that old insul fluff out first. Mainly because, you know, like if you do have insul fluff, that means that your house is of the age where it's probably been in there for a long time, yeah, and there's probably been rats and rodents up there. So I just like to clear it out and start with a nice fresh insulation in there. And then you can see all the condition of your roof and all your joists and know exactly where you're standing.
Now, are we talking about getting someone in, or are you sort of giving us advice on if people want to have a go themselves?
No, I reckon you should be getting in there, doing it yourself. There are a couple of different types of roofs that you should be careful of. If you do have a bungalow-style house, the structure in which your ceilings are constructed means that there isn't a hell of a lot of main supporting timbers. So, like in a bungalow ceiling, you'll see the big square panels that'll be like from a metre to 1.2 metres square. Mm. And generally they've sagged over time. And now those ceilings are a little bit harder to do because there's not as much support. So if you can get some boards or a plank or something to stand on up in there, that's my best advice. But what you want to do is make yourself a stick, just like a broom handle, and put two screws through it on the end, and so they stick out about 50-60 millimetres, so you don't have to line your stomach to get right into the eaves, you know, right into those real tight corners.
Yeah.
So you can use the stick just to like push it all the way into the eaves. Now, one really good tip with insulation, whether you're doing walls, floor, or ceiling, for every 1 millimetre gap that you have around your framing is 3% less efficient of your insulation. So if you have a 10 millimetre gap, that's 30% less efficient that insulation is going to be. So it's, even if you get guys in, say, if you're under construction and you have some installers or builders come in and put your insulation in your walls, and you can see daylight through around the side, get them to redo it. We used to just hold the insulation up against the framing, quickly cut it out with our utility knife, and then jam it in. Now you have to measure, so like is the, if the distance between your studs, say for example, is 550 millimetres, you would make that 5 to 10 millimetres wider and higher. And you don't want any creases, you want a perfect snug fit.
I've got some questions coming in. Someone wants to know what your thoughts are about blown-in insulation. So they're renovating a 1930s bungalow and they thought it might be a good way to avoid taking all the jib off. Can you quickly explain what that is and what you think of it?
Yeah, blown-in insulation is great. You know, it's fantastic. It's been around for a long time. You know, all the insulation products that are on the market have to go through pretty rigorous testing through, you know, all sorts of brands approved and our councils, et cetera. So the blow-in insulation is great because they can actually, even if you do have, like I said before, like insul fluff, which was essentially macerated material and paper and whatever else is in there, and they can suck that out and then spray in new stuff, and it's fantastic. It gets a really good blanket cover.
Great. Peter wants to know, he's saying, do you need to insulate a Lockwood? I would add, can you insulate a Lockwood?
Yeah, I don't know if you can insulate because those Lockwoods are there is no space for you to put that on the within the walls. I don't think you can. Someone might want to prove me wrong, but I don't think you can insulate them, mate.
You sort of referred to this, but is there good and bad insulation, or will anything pretty much do the job?
Look, our building code is basically what it stipulates in the 3604 or the New Zealand building codes is basically a bare minimum for insulation. And we're pretty rigorous when it comes to all our sizes of members of timber and et cetera. But when it comes to insulation, my personal opinion is I think we're on a very, very minimum. So if, for example, it states one R value, and an R value is the amount of effectiveness of that insulation. So if you have an R3 value and you can put in an R4, for example, always try and put in a higher R value if you can. So what the code is stipulating is only a bare minimum. So if you can afford it, you know, you can put double layers in your ceiling or triple layer within the ceiling if you like, or double layer within your walls if you can get it in there. So throughout the country, Central Plateau and Southland are generally the same amount when it comes to R values, because the higher the R value is where the colder parts of the country is. So generally up north it's warmer, so you don't have to have a higher R value. But wherever you are situated within the country, your local hardware outlet, Mitre 10, or wherever you're buying it from, will stock the correct R value for wall, ceiling or underfloor.
Ellie says if you're doing underfloor insulation, she highly recommends putting a poly layer on the ground. Any comments on that?
Yeah, look, I've talked about this a few times with architects, putting polythene on the ground to stop rising moisture. Now, some of them are on the thought that you're just trapping in the moisture underneath the ground and it can condensate on the polythene, which can transverse into your ceiling, into your floor. The best thing you can have is airflow. So if, having vents around the outside of your house or slats on around the base, or allowing airflow is the best thing you can have. But if you want to install insulation, by all means put the polythene down whilst you're doing it, and it's going to help you out a lot, so you're not going to get covered in mud. But there is a lot of really good products. One of my favourite for underfloor insulation, in fact, what I installed in my house here in Gisborne was a product called Mammoth. Now that's not a fiberglass product or a polystyrene. It's made out of 70% recycled plastic bottles, and it's very, very easy to install. It's friction fits. You can tear it sideways, so you don't need a lot of tools to put it in. If you want to put fiberglass insulation in, it's pretty simple to install yourself. The only difference is with fiberglass, you need a lot more safety gear. You need to put on a respirator, gloves, a throwaway suit, goggles, and making sure that you're covered, you're not breathing in any of the fiberglass dust. With the likes of wool or polyester insulation, you only really need eye protection, and you can have a mask on just so you don't get any little fibres, but there's certainly nothing in there that's going to harm you.
Okay, Stan, I've heard from Mike, who's calling himself a building inspector. He says check the WorkSafe website because he reckons that blown-in insulation often contains asbestos, so you should test before going near it.
Wow, that's a new one to me. Well, that'd be very, very surprising if people are putting in installing asbestos into ceilings. I'll have to look into that myself.
They wouldn't be selling something with asbestos in it. Do you think maybe it means the stuff that you're blowing out of the roof, the insul fluff?
Possibly what you're taking out could be.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of asbestos within our house. You know, even basically anything before the year 2000, if you're doing any renovations on your house whatsoever, you have to get an asbestos expert in to test to see, before you start pulling apart your house, whether you do have asbestos, whether it be in lino or exterior cladding.
Okay.
or any sort of insulation product.
Stan Scott, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Jesse.
Enjoy beautiful Gisborne. I know you will.